مركز صحابة، the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلاً وسهلاً ومرحباً بكم to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah Wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, for the last hour, we were discussing that small minority of Jews from among the pious Jews, from among the followers of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. We will now be crossing over to Brother Ahmad Parak, Hafizahullah, who is a local counselor and also quite involved in the burial affairs of the Muslim community, for the segment called Straight Talk. Now, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alayna salam to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Saturday morning, Morana. Alhamdulillah, Allah bless us on another fine day, Morana.
Alhamdulillah. Now, are there any new developments regarding kafan and dafan?
No, Morana. Alhamdulillah. So far, everything is like we are a little bit disappointed in the other provinces how the big night has just went past a few days ago, and the Kabristans are not in nick condition. So my plea to those brothers in their provinces are try and take it away from the municipality, try and get our own committee, all the NGOs assist in taking over, and like how we're doing it in KZN, start cleaning our own cemetery, because just now Ramzan is around the corner. In the next couple of days, it will be. And we know all our brothers want to be going to the Kabristan. And if you have bush like how it is, what I've seen, it's not a nice scene. Now, Kabristan, when you go there, it must be a nice, clean scene that, you know, there's some benches there, you can sit down, you can read, and all that. But what I've seen, it is very, very disappointing. And some of these cemeteries need total upgrade. And I can't see, and especially in Gauteng, we've got a lot of brothers, wealthy brothers, they will be able to assist. I think they have to put something together very, very quickly so that our cemeteries are taken care of.
Yeah, most certainly. You know, we make the dua, when we read dua for the deceased, وَاجْعَلْ قَبْرَهُ رَوْدَةً مِنْ رِيَادِ الْجَنَّةِ. Let his grave be like one of the gardens of Jannah. So we should try and make those kabarstans, you know, appear like the gardens of Jannah. Keep it beautiful, keep it neat. You know, it's very important. That's our final abode. And we should, just as, you know, we worry so much about the abodes that we live in this world, we should take the same, show the same concern to our kabarstan. Now, as far as our local politics, water seems to have become a major issue in not just KZN, but many of the other provinces. In fact, some of the other provinces are affected more than KZN. Now, we know that the South African Human Rights Commission also got involved in this, and they briefed the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on water and sanitation on Tuesday about some of the water-related inquiry reports it has produced in previous years. Now, it seems, you know, what seems to come out from the reports of the report of the Human Rights Commission is the water systems administrators are responsible for the current water crisis. The report mentions the following. One of the members of the Human Rights Commission, Boshef, said the high water losses were above the acceptable norm, as well as non-compliance with statutory requirements, adding that some of the water systems administrators failed to maintain and keep updated water service development plans and did not seem to have updated indigen plans. He said some of the water systems administrators do not comply with the prescribed norms and standards as issued in terms of the Water Act and compulsory standards. The Human Rights Commission found that there were high levels of indebtedness of the water systems administrators to water boards and threatening the sustainability and financial viability of water boards. And now, is this due to the water systems management not receiving the required support from the superiors, or is it due to sheer negligence on their part, you know, from what the Human Rights Commission has to say?
Jim, there's two parts to your question. Number one is, firstly, there is no management in servicing those machineries or the system. If you have not serviced your car for many years, what happens? You won't be able to drive it anymore. This is the same thing happening. Well, the problem is, the system was placed many, many years ago. It is what is best the pipes. They haven't got the plastic pipes, what we normally use. And what happens is, when you have multiple leaks in one road, and you might complain from your house that there's a leak and they have to open on the outside of the road, and you have to close 3 valves before you can even close your water. So therefore, when it happens, when you've got asbestos pipes and you've got hairline crack, these pipes will definitely crack. And this, the infrastructure from the time, in the last 30 years, we have absolutely done nothing about it. So the major part of this whole complaint, the Human Rights Commission is writing the complete report, a fully fledged report, is basically telling you, you know what, you had a infrastructure for water. There is more people came into your city. There is more flats have been built, more shopping centers have been built, more houses have been built, more complex have been built. But what have you all done to improve the supply of water from the reservoir? So they have not tackled that. That's one. The second part of is, you can't take all your top engineers, your top artisans, and then say, you know what, we have now taken over. Now you are redundant. So those guys had to take their package and had to leave the department. So they're no longer in the department. Who knew the actual infrastructure of the city and how to fix this infrastructure? So those, now when you brought in new guys, now they went onto the drawing board. Starting, firstly, it took them, I don't know how many months, to plan how the system works. So that's one. That we have been losing time. And when they were fixing pipes that had absolutely nothing to do with where the problem was, and they have fixed those pipes there, they knew leaks and all that. So that's where our biggest problem is, our infrastructure was not maintained. Now, if you cannot maintain your infrastructure, and then they're saying they want to put away 8% for water reserves for infrastructure. Now, I've been speaking to the main engineers at our city regarding our infrastructure. So I'm just talking about leaving alone the other provinces have got it worse than us. We must make alhamdulillah, please, we must so bad. But the other provinces have got worse than us. They want to start putting away 8% aside for infrastructure to get it. When I've been speaking to the engineer, I said, you know, my brothers, tell me exactly where the actual problems are. He says, listen to me, my brother. You know, I don't want to tell you something, then you'll come and ask me later that you told me this, I told you that. He says, firstly, those pumps that we are using Chinese pumps now. Those Chinese pumps are not good enough for the service what we want in Durban in South Africa. Secondly, our piping system needs to be changed. Road by road, street by street, we have to, because the asbestos pipes have to come out. Secondly, our whole reservoir has to start taking upgrade on it. And I said, okay, all said and done, how long this whole exercise is going to take? He says, my brother, it will take you nothing less than from today right up to 2032. That is, if anybody is going to tell you, I'm going to do it earlier, yes, you will get part by part a suburb getting fixed up first, next suburb. The entire city will take you up to 2032. So that is the main issue. Then you saw QC at the shore is bringing a class action from Kauken regarding this water issue. And if he's successful, and he's one of the most brilliant lawyers that I know in the country. He was like our late Ismail Mohammed, who wrote the Constitution of South Africa. Brilliant, brilliant guy. If he brings that application, he's bringing a class action to bring the whole government down in terms of service delivery. And if he's successful, then I think this will come a little bit before. We don't have to wait till 2032. They have to find money from other way, other places, and start putting the infrastructure together, because now this water issue is a massive issue. In some places, in Tonga, Salem, Chatsworth, you're not getting it for weeks. And with this water tanker issue, and you know what this water tanker mafia is, we spoke about it last week, and it's a big, big mess at the moment. So from the side of the city, the investments are coming. That one thing, there's no two ways about it. The investment, people are investing in the city, investing in the country. Because when the chips are down, people invest. The issue is, if you can't get our act together, and if you're not going to get the right people to do the right work, and if you can get the right people to do the work, I think we can solve this problem quicker than what we don't even have to wait for 2032. That is it. Because everyone at the moment are crying every single day, you know. And if you see to in Amstranga, Sunnyside, Virginia, Verlam, Phoenix, it is very, very, very bad. And you know, in the 22 flood, I was there, Morana, you won't believe it. I was overseeing to how they will dig the pump house there, we call it there. They put in completely new system. 18 million they spent from the city. It didn't even last that 90 days and the system was all broken. Because they used a cheap Chinese pump, couldn't do the work, so we lost out there. Now people are suffering today. That's where our biggest problem is. We need to get the right people who understand how to work with the city, the old people, even if we have to get them, and they are coming at the moment on an advisory basis, let them advise us and put this whole act together. Now, you know, Ramzan is around the corner. You know, Ramzan, we need water for Pakistan. We need water every single day. Now, you know, how difficult is it going to be? People have to go with the buckets outside on the road, get 20-liter buckets. You know, some people are old people. Some people, they're in the flats, the lift doesn't work. To have to carry it up. You know, it's just not on. You know, you can't do that. It's causing more problems for people's health than water. Now you have to carry water up to 8th floor, 6th floor, 5th floor. It's just not on one of that. So far as this water issue is concerned, yes, it is a massive problem. We have to do, we are doing from the city our best. But the thing is this, the Northern Aqua Works in Sikaoli, I know I've been there, I'm on top of it. I go there on a regular basis because I'm in that committee and I go and check it. That is taking shape and they're doing a fantastic job. There is no two ways about it. There's another 2 years work left there. So it is coming right there. And if you go one day, if you need to have a look at it, let me know. I will show you. I've got special permission to be able to go and see for ourselves what is actually happening and how they're doing it. In fact, what they're doing is the right way they're doing it. The local party using, no imported piping. Everything is local. The pumps are from South Africa. So if there is an issue or anything, we'll be able to refer. And we got We have got warehousing where if one pump doesn't want you to work, you can bring in another pump, put it in, and the system works. So that's how it is. And they've got generators, everything. So there's at no time you want to have it. I'm just hoping in the next 2 years, when my terms of office finish, that northern EcoWorks will be in fully function, inshallah.
Inshallah. Now, the fact that South African Human Rights Commission is involved in this, you know, that alone is indication about the seriousness of the problem, because this is a basic human right. Now, we read further in that report of the Human Rights Commission, the representative, Mr. Boshoff, stated that key systematic water issues gleaned from the inquiry reports were inadequate skills and capacity in water units within water services authorities and high vacancy rates in technical water units. Now, from the statement, it seems like those who are employed by the water systems administrator are not there because of skills and capacity. Now, isn't there any system in place to regularly monitor and assess the staff and get rid of the dead wood?
Jimonana, from the report I read, it makes it very, very clear. So it's giving the city manager of all the provinces to rectify the area. Because that is that report speaks for itself, because now it is a report, it's a highly fledged report, because it goes to national government, from national government it came to all the provinces, from the provinces to the city. So this report, it is talking for itself, and it's spelling it out in ABC to say exactly where is your problem. Your problem is, firstly, you haven't got skilled staff. Secondly, the lack of resource. Now that is a major issue in our country at the moment. We want to get things done, but we don't have the money. Now what they have to do is they have to now allocate some other departments to bring it into the water and sanitation, to start fixing water and sanitation. So the other department might, if they had 50% of the quota for their department, they would have like 10% you can take away, and take away from all the other departments and fix water. So if you get the water fixed up and you bring the right skillful workers, the proper engineers, or they can give it to a contractor who, like what we have done in the Seacoast aqua water pump. Now, that's what we have done. You're not going to have a problem or anything, because it comes with warranty and guarantee as well. So that is going to solve our problem. And we need to bring in our own engineers back into the city, back into the provinces, who knew about how this water works. And that is it. But the biggest problem is two aspects to your question. One, we don't have enough funding. Two, we don't have the skillful people to do that. There's the right artists. And thirdly, we must have the capacity to do the work. That is it. If these three things can be met, Molana, I think before 2032, we'll get much better, cleaner water. And we must also understand, Molana, a lot of people from the rural area came into the city and has components for all the additional flats, housing, apartment, shopping centers. So all has taken its course as well over the years. But who do you blame? It is the poor planning from the city, from the state, from the government. That's where we fell behind. If there was proper planning, we shouldn't have been in this position today.
The next question, another thing that is mentioned in that report is the water systems administrators are not setting aside or spending the 8% norm set by National Treasury for operations and maintenance of infrastructure. Now, if that 8% is not being set aside for operations and infrastructure maintenance, does anyone know where's that 8% going to?
See, Molana, the problem at the moment, whatever that 8% is coming, which is what we call a buffer fund, Now, due to we do not have funding from national government or the provinces and the municipality, we are short. So therefore, they are taking it from the buffer fund to utilize it to get the system up and running as quick as possible. So that is it. But in actual fact, you are right that 8% shouldn't be used for that. That buffer fund should be put aside for emergencies and everything else. But unfortunately, because we've got too much of an emergency and we don't have the funding from national government, therefore, we have to use these funds to get our systems up and running.
The next issue that's worrying our people, particularly the pensioners, is this change of card, from the normal gold SASSA card to the black Postbank card. Now, if you look at Durban, when you go to that website, they just speak about ShopRite in West Street, one place only in central Durban. What a lot of old people want to know, that on the website, SASSA website, they mentioned that you could do it at the post office also, and any, a retailer that has Postbank. But there are people that have been to the post office, and the post office states that they are not doing it. You have to go to those stores. And I mean, just to have one store in central Durban in West Street really makes it difficult. What's the situation here? This is worrying a lot of pensioners at the moment.
From my understanding, Molana, post banks are the authorized recipients to open those accounts, number one. There's ShopRite checkers, there's all the retail stores, wherever there's a post bank, they will be able to do it. So, and because of the queues that we are finding in the post banks as well as in the retail stores regarding to change those cards to the new card, they have now moved the date right up to the 28th of February. They have extended the date so that you won't have a problem to renew those cards. So that's where the problem is. And Morana, I think it is a good thing too. And okay, fine. There will be a little bit of suffering for the old people and all that. I understand people have to go to the supermarket just to go and change the cards and all that. But the system that we put in place, it will also protect the old people because some people are taking their cards and claiming that money and all that. So that was one of the main criteria for changing the system as well. And that is, we're losing millions of per annum regarding this fraudulent transaction that is happening. And there was a lot of bogus that people used to get paid, that doesn't exist. So the people were getting paid. So that is one of the other reasons they have to now close this gap up. So that it will be a little bit cumbersome for now, but I think it will ease up in the next couple of weeks because people are going there. And then when you're going to buy your groceries, and today is not too big, if it's normally middle of the month and all that, it's not too big queues or anything. I've already checked on that. So the people are getting through to the bank. And the bank, if you go to the post bank, they're accepting and they're helping the people to sort that out as well.
So it's not only that one ShopRite in West Street as mentioned on the website.
No, you can go to any wherever there's post bank, you go to, you'll see there in the shop window there is the post bank, they will be able to do it for you.
Okay, so no, post office won't do it and the SASSA office themselves won't do it.
The post office, if it's a post bank, they won't do it.
Now, there is some good news about the city collaborates with business to boost investment in Durban. Can you, just elaborate on that good news that we have?
You see, Morana, in the city, we have got something, a system is put in place. We're getting in something like 217 billion investment to be put into the city in a catalyst project. Now, catalyst project is simple. It is like a one stop. You do your plans there, you do your rezoning there, your everything. It comes into one. They have got a special section within the city, so everything. So you are a big businessman, want to spend millions of rand into the city, so you don't have to go to water, sanitation, electricity, park, roads, all the other departments. You only go one stop. They do everything for you to from A to Z. So that's a big, big plus factor. Secondly, they're getting in 217 billion coming into the city. Now we must ask ourselves that, you know what, people are 40%, 48% of the country, and JZN in the country, and there's youth unemployment. What is happening? How is this money is coming in if there's youth? But there will be a lot of spin-off from this year, because the city is, you know, you understand that we have already signed up Maharani and Ilangeni leases have been signed up. There will be a 1 billion rand investment in the whole of the beachfront. So things are happening, but it will, you know, everything takes time, because you can't just get one thing done only. Yeah, we have to do, first we have to do the roads, the water system first, before we do the roads. Then you got your electricity. Then you need to bring in more power into the city, because the city, in 1 liter, you can only put 1 liter water. You can't put 1.5 liter. At the moment, we got people 1.5 liters of people here, but with the bottle only can take 1 liter. That's where our problem is. So that's where we run shy and we run short for electricity as well. So that's where our problem is. So if you take international investment, people want to invest, and this is a very, very lucrative market to invest in. And whoever has got money, and this is, I've been saying this, this is an opportunity for our people who have got money and got spare money, that, you know, it's not from the business money, it's got spare money, you want a good investment, there's an opportunity to spend. Give it 2020, from anything from 2030, you want to get good return on your money, because the property market is going up. The property market at the moment is dull at the moment, but people are buying, and things are happening at the moment. And once things start happening and the market is opening up, and with the international international funders are putting in money, so there must be something for them to put money in the country. Nobody in his right mind want to put into a country where they say there's no water, there's no electricity, the roads are bad, they've got potholes, but they still want to put in 217 billion in one city alone in Durban. There must be a big catch here. There must be something in it. And if you look at it, in the old days we had sanctions against South Africa. Trump can jump from now till the cows come home. We don't need Trump. We don't need nobody. We are self-sufficient in South Africa. We got everything. We got oil. We got water. We got oil. We got water. We got minerals. We got diamonds. We got gold. We can be self-sufficient. They need us more than we need them in Bangalore. So this is what people must understand. And all right, they think because of the Goa trading partners there are, we want to lose so much. That is all a... By the way, we can be self-sufficient because of the lack of goodwill from our people over the years have not created more job employment in South Africa. Today we're in a bad shape. But once we start opening up and start creating, we will be the best in Africa, I think.
Inshallah. I mean, that's not impossible. Because if you look at Kigali in Rwanda, that's, you know, one of the most beautiful cities, and that place, they had that genocide not very long ago. Now, just one burning question regarding these spaza shops. We know that the president himself got involved after all the deaths of some children. Now, one of the things that is reported in the Mercury about getting license, your structure must be compliant, and the zoning must be correct for you to use that place as a business, as there are certain areas that cannot be used for specific types of business as approved by town planning. You must also comply with fire safety requirements. Now, the question is about These poor ladies that sit outside schools on the pavements, etc., and sell chips and sweets to school children, you know, do they have to register and apply for license also?
There's two types of license here. Number one is the guy who has got a proper spaza shop, has got a structure, he's got a double garage or whatever it is there. What we are saying is you have to apply for a proper license. There must be proper adequate safety and security, because in case if it catches on fire, nobody gets burned and all that. So they will, that's one. From the 4,600 recipients who have applied, there's only 408 have their license has been accepted. So we got another less than two weeks for all the others. They're working day and night to get all these applications approved, because some of these applications will not be approved because they are in a very, very bad state. The place is not very good. It's not even painted. They haven't got proper infrastructure there, so that they will not get the license for them. But the ones that is relatively good, where they think it's going to be easier to operate as a spaza shop and infrastructure is there, they will be able to be open the spaza shop. As far as those ladies that are concerned that sell outside the schools and on the road where they got the pavement demarcated area, they will get the where they sell the fruits and chips and water and cold drinks or whatever they sell on the streets and in schools. Yes, they will be able to get a trading license to say that school there, you will be able to sell from certain time to certain time, providing you need to make sure that you do not sell any expired goods or anything like that.
Okay. Now, I just received an SMS now where someone is asking, if for some reason a pensioner was not able to change the card by the end of February, and considering that there seems to be an extension, would they be able to collect their pension with the old card, you know, if they couldn't do it by the end of February?
100% you will be still be able to collect your pension with the old card, till the new card has been given to you. So the extension has been extended to March, so I don't think we have going to be problems. So because we know there's a problem, and then nobody should be deprived. So if there's issues like that, I will be able to, whoever needs any assistance, I'll be able to help them as well.
Okay. Jazakumullah khair al jaza for your valuable time this morning and the valuable information that you have shared with our listeners. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you in abundance and also restore your health. I know you were in hospital during the course of the week. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give you complete shifa. Insha'Allah, you will receive the podcast during the course of the day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Brother Ahmad Parak, who is a local counselor for this city. The city of Durban, in our local language, it is called Itekweni. So he is one of the counselors here, and he's also quite involved in the burial affairs of the Muslim community.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.